Harper Audio presents Only Killers and Thieves by Paul Howarth. Performed by David Linsky. He, with his little band of black boys at his heels, inspired the Aborigines with such a wholesome dread that it was only necessary, when on any of their marauding expeditions, to say his name, and they would go yelling pell-mell into the bush. Description of a native police officer in the Queenslander, 13th of February, 1875. Central Queensland, Australia, 1885. Chapter 1. They stalked the ruined scrubland, searching for something to kill. Two boys, not quite men, tiny in a landscape withered by drought and drenched in unbroken sun. Vast plains pocked with spinifex and clumps of buckbush, grass brittle as old bone, red soil fine as gunpowder underfoot. There'd not been rain for a year. The whole bush smelled ready to burn. Dust blew in rivulets between the clutches of scrub and slid in great sheets over open ground. No cattle grazing here. What remained of the mob was down valley, closer to the creek, where the water ran in a trickle through a trough of dry mud and the surrounding floodplain offered the last of the feed. Now, all that lived in these northern pastures were creatures meant for the terrain. Lizards, snakes, spiders, possums, dingoes, roos. Often there'd be rabbits, but even the rabbits knew to shelter from the afternoon sun. Only the flies were moving. There was nothing for the brothers to hunt. They paused and stood together with their rifles down, grimly surveying the surrounds, breathing hard, the air too hot and thick to properly fill the lungs. The older of the pair took off his hat, wiped his brow with his wrist, spat. He settled the hat back on his head. It didn't fit him well. The younger's fit him even worse. Tommy and Billy were 14 and 16 years old, and both wore their father's old clothes. Tan moleskin trousers tied off with a green hide belt, dark and sweat-stained shirts. They exchanged a weary glance and stood waiting. A light breeze blew. The shrill rattle of cicada screams. Flies covered the boys' shirt backs and crept down toward their eyes and ear holes until a casual swipe of the hand flicked them away. That lazy stockman salute picked up from their old man, or something they were born with, maybe. Flies had been coming at them their entire lives. They'd been fighting them off since the crib.
"Well," Billy said, "I reckon we might as well quit. She won't be happy. She can please herself. It ain't our fault there's a drought."
Tommy opened his flask, tilted back his head, eyes closed against the sun, and drank. The water tasted stale and metallic and caught in the back of his throat. He winced as it went down, a childlike revulsion against the taste. Still some boy left in him yet. Whereas Billy now had stubble and their father's broad frame, Tommy's body was slender. His nose was freckled, his eyes a watery blue. His hair was fairer than his brother's too. Tints of red in a certain light, which came from their mother's side. She was Irish, their father Scots, and there was English blood in both lines. If they were dogs, they'd have been called mongrels. Australian was a whole new breed. Billy held out his hand for the water. Tommy passed it across, and as his brother drank, Tommy's gaze wandered over that barren and rubbled ground to the thin blue gum forest that marked the northern boundary of their run, shrouded in a fine eucalyptus mist.
"Hey," he said, nodding. "Be shading them trees."
Billy lowered the flask.
"I ain't hot."
"Me either. I mean the rabbits. Might even find us an old man roo."
Billy scoffed, flicked water at Tommy's face.
"Don't bloody waste it," Tommy said, wiping himself down. "That's all there is left."
"Tastes like foot wash anyhow."
"Give it here then."
Tommy took back the flask.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?